Well, g'day everyone and welcome to The Journey this week. My name's Jude Hennessy and this is a show that's all about faith, hope, love and life, helping all of our listeners to open themselves up to and draw closer to the one who loves us more than we can imagine, the Heavenly Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the show this week is being put together around this wonderful feast day called All Souls Day. But it's a beautiful feast day, hot on the heels of All Saints Day, where we celebrate the lives and the witness and the influence of the saints, those heroes of the Christian faith, known and unknown, named and celebrated, and those who've lived in obscurity, but also all souls, those who belong to the Lord because of a life that embraced the gospel, a gospel which calls us to repentance, to new life, and to eternal life. And we've got some great people helping to celebrate that. So you're going to be hearing from Deacon Josh Clayton. We like to call him the Bush Deacon. I think it makes him smirk when we do that. He's not too far out in the bush out there in Bathurst. He's got a piece for us this week that he's called On a Streak, a bit of a story about his son, an experience he's having on a gap year that he's having. Great to have Trish McCarthy with us too. Milk and Honey is her much-loved segment. And she's going to ask us, are we ageing well, particularly if we're drawing into the evening part of our lives? Great to have Bishop Tony Percy, as always, in his segment, The Word. He'll be breaking open the relevant scriptures that are set down for this Sunday. Mother Hilda Scott wants to talk to us about the power of presence and how places can get a memory of their own based on the people that have been inhabitants of a particular area. But to kick us off, great to hear from our good mate down in Tasmania, Father Mike Delaney. He's going to be breaking open for us the gospel for this Feast of All Souls. It's taken from Luke 7, 11 to 17, the story about the widow who has now also lost her son and how Jesus responds to that. One of the great miracle stories that we have in the Gospels and how hope, the hope that Jesus brings out of this situation, points to the eternal hope that we all should be truly, joyously looking forward to, the hope of eternal life, purchased for us by what Jesus did for us. And so great to have Father Mike Delaney breaking that open for us in this week's show. As is always the case, we've got heaps and heaps of really good music. After we hear from Father Mike, we're going to hear a bit of Wren Collective, Your Name is Power, and some other cracking songs right throughout the show too. We better dive into it on this beautiful feast day. Let's not get caught up in all the secular rubbish that's surrounding us around this notion of All Hallows or All Souls Day. Let's celebrate it in the way that Christians truly should, remembering the promise and the gift of eternal life that awaits those who have embraced the gospel and embraced the promises that come from a relationship with Jesus. Faith, hope, love and life. Let's go. Glad you're with us this week on The Journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus went to a town called Nain, accompanied by his disciples and a great number of people. When he was near the gate of the town, it happened that a dead man was being carried out for burial, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable number of townspeople were with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt sorry for her. "Do not cry," he said. Then he went up and put his hand on the bier, and the bearers stood still, and he said, "Young man, I tell you to get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Everyone was filled with awe and praised God, saying, "A great prophet has appeared among us. God has visited his people." And this opinion of him spread throughout Judea and all over the countryside. The Gospel of the Lord.
The Gospel Reflection with Father Mike Delaney.
In my parish this weekend, I'm starting a new message series with the theme, Discovering Our Way. We're taking these last few weeks of the church's year to look again at our parish vision statement and begin a process of assessment to judge whether we are witnessing how our vision is calling us to live. I'm not going to spend time talking about the whole of the vision statement, but the relevant, slightly edited statement says, "We are a vibrant community going out to make disciples." So the saint in our gospel reading today tells us that Jesus was with his disciples when they met a crowd. And there's nothing unusual about that. This time we hear that this is a crowd accompanying a funeral procession. Again, probably nothing that unusual. But then we hear some of the factors that take this story to a whole new level. We're told that the key mourner is a widow, and the deceased person is her only son. From what we know of funerals at that time, it's highly likely that the crowd which accompanies her are the professional mourners who are available to provide the necessary services for the family, but who might not have any real sense of responsibility toward the widow or what happens to her after the burial. We also know that widows, without the support of their family, their children, were basically cut off from all real support in their lives and would have had to rely on the whole of the community to support them. So, alongside the loss of her child and her natural grief at his death, there is also the underlying reality that she is now totally at the mercy of the community. I frequently celebrate funerals, and whenever I see a grieving mother or a wife, something happens within me. There is a sense of compassion that stirs up feelings of wanting to take away some of their pain, their anguish, and yet I feel helpless. Frequently, all I'm able to do is to offer my prayerful support and, by my prayer and concern, be a witness of the love of God to them at that particular moment. Today, we hear that Jesus had similar feelings of compassion for the woman, but he was able to do so much more. We are told that he went up and touched the bier and said, "Young man, I tell you to get up." With this action, one of only three mentions of someone being raised from the dead other than the resurrection of Jesus himself, Jesus restores life to the son, but also gives life and a future to his mother. For she no longer faces a future of uncertainty and emptiness. She's given a new lease of life and experiences what Jesus has promised to all his followers, that they would have life and have it to the full. This in itself is a miracle and is worth celebrating. But back to my message series, Discovering Our Why. The crowd who had witnessed the miracle of the raising of this young man were filled with awe and praised God, saying, "A great prophet has appeared amongst us. God has visited his people." But my question is, were their lives changed, and did they tell others about this good news? Or did they simply brag about being there the day Jesus raised the man from the dead? More importantly, how do we see and experience Jesus in our lives? Is it only in the spectacular, or do we find him in the everyday? Knowing and experiencing Jesus in our lives should become the impetus for us to become disciples spreading the good news. Jesus gave back life to the son. He gave back hope and a place in the community to his mother. As we listen to this gospel, what has Jesus given us? And what difference will it make in my life as I live out my call to be a disciple?
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
You're the only answer to the darkness. You're the only right among the wrong. Only hope among the chaos. You are the voice that calls me on, louder than every lie, my sword in every fight. The truth will chase away the night. Your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captive.
Yeah.
darkness, light arrives and heaven opens. Holy Spirit, let us hear it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it. When you speak, you scatter darkness.
To The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
I had the happiness once of visiting a ruined monastery in Tautra, Norway. It's called Maria Kloster. Many people who go there say that they can feel a presence that they can't quite put their finger on. When I walked among the stones and half walls, I tended to come out with the name Presence. That's what I felt there. It felt to me as though the monks of long ago were still there, to tell you the truth. I sat alone one blistery day on one of the stones looking out to the fjord, and that's when I caught the whiff, if I can put it that way, of something bigger than me. I didn't know the history of the place, but a random stranger on a railway platform as I was leaving told me that this monastery had actually been built during a time of civil war, and that was about in the 800s, I think. The stones were not native to the island of Tautra, and they had to be ferried across the fjord from the other side. The stranger painted this fantastic picture of monks in their boats with arrows whizzing past their faces. But they kept going, and that monastery lasted for another 800 years. My railway platform friend said they made a statement of peace in a time of war. And I thought then, and have since, yes, yes. And their statement of peace has echoed into the hearts of people they'd never could have envisaged, from places they could never dream of. Have you ever got into a house and thought to yourself, oh, I need to get out of here? You don't know what it is, but you do know you don't like what you're feeling. Or likewise, gone into a house and felt immediately drawn to it. Again, you don't know why, but there it is. It makes me think about what sort of presence will be discernible after we've gone. Will the places where we've lived carry a sense of peace or discord? Do I consciously put out an atmosphere of kindness so that people can feel it long after I'm gone? Like a whiff of perfume from someone in a lift. Only this sense of goodness doesn't disappear. Someone once said to me, I like to create memories. It might be worth our while asking ourselves, what sort of unspoken memory am I going to leave behind?
Thanks so much to Mother Hilda Scott there. Great story about her visit to the ruins of a monastery built around the year 800 and the sense of peace and the sense of presence and the reflections that she had about what we leave behind because of the way we live our own lives. Thank you to her, and thank you to Father Mike Delaney, who before the break broke open this week's gospel for us. More of that to come after the break as we hear from Bishop Tony Percy. He's an auxiliary bishop in Sydney. His segment, The Word, each and every week gives great insights into the reading set down for any particular Sunday, any given Sunday. But not before some Great music from two people I absolutely love listening to, Phil Wickham, House of the Lord, and Chris Tomlin, not too far away as well, Resurrection Power. Bishop Tony, he's not too far away. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. I'm glad you've joined us on the journey.
On the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside.
And now, with his weekly reflection, here's Bishop Tony Percy.
The opportunity this weekend is to reflect on the call to holiness, because the feast on Saturday is the Feast of All Saints, November the 1st, followed by the Feast of All Souls on November the 2nd. That falls on the Sunday and replaces the normal Sunday Mass, which would have been the 31st Sunday of the year. So it's a great opportunity for all of us. Of course, there are saints everywhere. Pope Francis, before he died, wrote a tremendous document called Rejoice and Exalt. It's a wonderful small document, an apostolic exhortation on the life of holiness. And in that document, he makes a very striking observation, which I think all of us sense and have had an experience of. And that is that very often, he says, we find holiness in our next door neighbors. The point that he's making is most important. He says, I like to contemplate the holiness present in the patience of God's people, in those parents who raise their children with immense love, in those men and women who work hard to support their families, in the sick, in elderly religious who never lose their smile. And so the point is really well made, I think, that indeed what he's saying is so profoundly true. Very often we find holiness in our next door neighbors. So we're all called to be saints, but the official ones, the canonized ones, might every now and then sow some seeds of doubt in our hearts. We think to ourselves, well, I can't be like Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, that extraordinary woman. And we admire her and we love her, what she's done and continues to do through the religious order called the Missionaries of Charity. Surely we can't be like her, though. It's an impossibility. Or we look at Saint Francis of Assisi and we love him, but we say to ourselves, the poverty that he lived is just simply too fierce for me. I can't live up to that at all. In fact, it's not even possible, given my daily life, my life with my wife and children, or my life as a secular priest, etc. But of course, we're not called to be Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and we're not called to be Francis of Assisi. You may remember that wonderful phrase by Thomas Merton in a book of his called Seeds of Contemplation, which I think was published sometime in 1955, but I could be wrong about the date. But I'm actually sure about this incredible statement of his, very insightful, that the reason people don't become saints is they refuse to be themselves. They refuse to be themselves. So they try to. People often spend their time trying to be someone they're not. Or if we fast forward to Carlo Acutis said we're all born original, but most of us die as photocopies. You know, we're not content to be ourselves. We try to be someone that we're actually not. So this is a very fine point, I think, that God is going to call us as we are this unique human being. So yes, the call to be saints is a call to be like Christ, there's no doubt about it, but it's also a call to be very much ourselves. And so the question would be then, how would this happen? How would we be more Christ-like, and how would we be more ourselves? So the first reading that's given on the Feast of All Saints, I think, is more than helpful. It's 1 John. It's the first letter of John, chapter 3. He says, think of the love that the Father has lavished on us by letting us be called God's children, and that is what we are. So let us have the simplicity and trust of children. Let us have that great quality of children who can accept the gift, that the gift given to us by God is actually Himself. And the first gift that He gives to us in our life is ourselves. So let us be in our personality who we are, and let us then develop our characters through those wonderful virtues, the four cardinal virtues, the three theological virtues. Let us become more Christ-like. But think of the love that the Father has lavished on us by letting us be called God's children. So this is freedom and trust in letting ourselves relate to God as His children. St. John goes on to say purification is needed. If we want to be more like Christ, then obviously purification is needed. It's needed not only in this life, but sometimes it's needed in the next, which is what the Feast of All Souls reminds us of. So he goes on to say, surely everyone who entertains this hope of this call to holiness must purify himself, must purify herself, must try to be as pure as Christ, especially in our intention, what we have in our heart, the way and the why we do things. Most beautiful. Great opportunity, the Feast of All Saints and All Souls this weekend.
Thanks so much to Bishop Tony Percy. We are so lucky to have him each and every week on our show. He's become a bit of a mainstay, along with Mother Hilda Scott. They're very secure in the batting order these days. And I think it's impossible to leave unchanged or having learnt something new once you've listened to Bishop Tony Percy. I just want to bring you to attention the Growing Good Men Weekend, which is coming up in our area, not too far away. Mind you, people do travel from all around Australia to come to these weekends. There's been ones run in Brisbane, there's been one run in Melbourne, and we're running one here on the outskirts of Sydney in cooperation with Men Alive. It's called Growing Good Men. It's a father and teenage son weekend experience. It's being held at the Tops Conference Centre from the 5th to the 7th of December. Due to a really generous donation that we've had from a donor, we're able to give a pretty big discount to this weekend to fathers and sons. It's just $400 for the father and son pair, so $200 each, which is for all the food, your accommodation, your activities, your resources, and a weekend that starts on the Friday night, goes through until about Sunday lunchtime. It's a transforming experience that helps fathers and sons to bond in really deep ways like never before. Helps sons as they embrace the journey of adolescence and what it means to be increasingly becoming a man, a good man, dealing with big emotions, dealing with friendships, dealing with the quest for identity, and there's some pretty powerful rites of passage at the part of the weekend as well. Just go to menalive.dow.org.au. That's menalive.dow.org.au to find out more information, or just type Growing Good Men into your search engine and you'll find the weekend that's on at Stanwell Tops. It's the last one for this year. There's been three held around Australia. I'm going. Can't wait to be there. I tag along to these and do a bit of worship, lead some of the music and run some of the sessions, but in the main, it's run by these fantastic fellows from the Men Alive movement, which are doing such great work right around the country. Coming up now, we've got some more music for you. That's My King by C.C. Winans. And after the break, Trish McCarthy is going to talk to us about aging and aging well in a little piece that she's called The Evening of Your Life. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you joined us on the journey.
That's my king, that's my rock, that's my anchor.
Hope, love, and life. This is The Journey. And now it's time for Milk and Honey with Trish McCarthy.
Have you ever stopped to notice how your body, mind, and heart are aging? Not just what you look like, but the manner in which that growth towards wholeness is unfolding. Have you ever considered how it is that you are aging? It happens to all of us, but with varying degrees of success. And by that I don't mean that we are graded in a pass or fail manner, but there are some things we could consider in the pursuit of aging well. Being more alive, more whole at the end of our life than when we started. As a young person, it can seem silly to consider growing older, but if you speak to those who are, many would attest to the feeling of it creeping up on them. I once encountered a beautiful image of a man who would take a walk with Jesus every day, in his heart, his mind, his soul. They would talk freely about his life, his journey, his learnings, and what Jesus wanted to share and bless him with. One day when they were out walking, Jesus said to the man, "You know, we are much closer to my home than yours at this moment in time. How about you come with me to my home?" And so he did. St. John of the Cross talks about the evening of our life, and I appreciate the use of his words to build on the story I shared. As we move toward the evening of our life, do you consider how fit you are? Well, I'm not necessarily talking about athlete fitness, though being physically capable is tied into our holistic approach. But fitness also refers to our suitability or capability to fulfill a particular task or role. Are we spiritually fit to enter or receive the kingdom of heaven? Are we emotionally fit to approach the evening of our life? Is our body physically fit to serve us as we grow older? Each day, each moment, is an opportunity to prepare and ready ourselves to receive a gift we cannot possibly conceive of its richness. This life is not just for the body, but for the soul. So how are you using your God-given body to prepare yourself to receive the kingdom of God in your heart?
Well, I hope you enjoyed that from Trish McCarthy. Some really good insights and tips about how we can grow, continue growing, even in the evening of our life. And let's face it, the evening of our life is nothing when you're eyeing off eternity. But the importance of, particularly as we're maturing, journeying each day with Jesus and recognizing the extra time that might be part of our lives, to embrace it as a gift to deepen our relationship with Jesus. Some great music there from Nathan Fawcett too, Made in Your Image. And thanks to Maxie Norden, who every week he's really deliberate in picking out songs that link in with the themes of what our Godspot presenters have been able to give us each and every week. We're so lucky. They're so full of great stories, great insights and wisdom. And the guy coming up after the break is no different. Deacon Josh Clayton. He's an awesome fella. I love being in Josh's company. And he's got some insights about rhythms of daily prayer and worship that we all need to cultivate. And he's doing so off the back of some insights that he's getting from his own son, who's on a gap year and overseas is doing some faith-based ecumenical mission work. And he's going to invite us to make sure we get on a streak and stay on a streak in our prayer life. That's coming up after the break. Here's some more music now from Nathan Fawcett, Made in Your Image, and Deacon Josh Clayton, not too far away. faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. You're getting near the end, but we're still on the journey.
I was made by you, made in your image. I'm seated with you in heavenly places. I was made by you, made in your fullness. I'm seated with you in heavenly places. I've been marked by your presence, and now I'm walking with you. Oh, I'm a co-heir with Jesus.
On the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
And now, here's the Bush Deacon, Josh Clayton.
One of my children is currently living overseas. They've decided after a recent trip and after finishing the HSC and working very hard to have their gap year living overseas in a community that is engaged very much in ecumenism, in sharing faith with young people, but also building bridges between different groups. One of the things he's experienced, though, is the ability and the dedication and also the time management to be able to attend church as well as prayer a lot more than he normally would. He's had a little bit of structure, let's be honest, a fair bit of structure that's enabled him to be present in a different way to God and to those around him, especially in communal prayer. One of the things that he said in a recent conversation to his family, but especially to one of his siblings, was that he was on a 20-day streak for attending church. That is, he'd gone to church every day for 20 days. Now, I think it's probably a bit higher now because he's been away for a while, but it made me think about how quite often we use that term of on a streak, or young people talk about how, oh yeah, I'm going well, I'm doing things more often than I should. But how often do we not think of that in our own life, in our faith journey? Now, I'm not suggesting that we should all necessarily be in church a couple of times every day. Maybe that's not practical, but we also do know people that spend a lot of time at church praying, remembering us in prayer, worshiping God, and being there for others in a very particular way. maybe it's something we should do. How can we help ourselves to be on a streak? How can we help ourselves to be in a better routine in our prayer life? I know for myself, there's certain prayers I have to pray as a deacon. Morning, evening prayer, night prayer, and also being very present in things such as Mass and the daily readings. That's part of the routine that I've built into my life. I do morning prayer at a certain time each day and a certain place so that I can pray it, not just do it, but pray morning prayer in an effective way. We have something in our diocese called Connect at Home, where each day an email is sent out where you can have the daily readings as well as a reflection from a bishop, priest or deacon in our diocese. This is an opportunity for you to start your day well by being reminded of what our daily readings are. I think there's many ways that we can get on a streak in terms of our prayer life, but we have to be intentional about it. We can't just hope it happens. We have to think and be realistic about how we act in our prayer life, how we act in our life, and try and find a way for that to happen more. So, this week, as we continue the joy of gathering on a Sunday in this virtual way and hearing of wonderful ways that God has worked through the lives of others, what's going to be your takeaway? What's your action point? What are you going to do to make your prayer life stronger? I'd encourage you to think about how you can get on a streak. It's not just young men on gap years that can do that. It's each of us who can stop and reflect on how prayer and our relationship with Jesus Christ can be stronger today.
Let the weight of this world go. Gonna be no tears, gonna be no pain when I see that smile on my Savior's face.
Thank you.
Great song to finish this week. That's Cochrane & Co, Running Home. Thanks to Deacon Josh Clayton from Bathurst there. Great input for us this week, called On a Streak. That was a great story and great insights, calling us to a deeper prayer life and to get on a streak, to be consistent. Just keep turning up. It's in those daily routines that we have our lives transformed. You know, the big moments for sure, but it's the knuckling down and the consistencies of prayer and worship that really change our hearts. And, of course, diving into Scripture too. Thanks to our other contributors who've helped us do just that, to Trish McCarthy, to Bishop Tony Percy, Mother Hilda Scott, of course, and right back at the top of the show, Father Mike Delaney. Cheerio to him. I know he listens in every week. We really appreciate, Father Mike, what you've given us this week. And to Max Norton, who's put the show together too. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it. Don't forget you can give us some feedback at jcr.org.au. We love getting feedback. We always respond if we get little notes or little messages from people. You can also, at that point, listen again to any part of the show, or you can send it to yourself, you can download it, or you can sign up and get this sent to you each and every week. So no matter where you are, right around the world, you can listen in to The Journey. We will be doing it all again next week, as we've been doing every week for coming up to 15 years. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and it's been my absolute pleasure to join you on The Journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norden on Darawal Country, in the office of the Bishop for the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.